Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL Dean and today you're here for your second edition of the Late Mail ahead of Game Week 37. I cover all the important questions, whether to buy Ollie Watkins, whether to buy the Barty Party, why break down all these options for you, including for my own benefit because I don't know what I'm going to do still. And then I'm going to be back at 4 p.m. UK time for a deadline stream, so make sure you join me for that. The key takeaways from the press conferences from the four teams that have actually had them so far is that Man United are pretty much not going to be with any good defence at all. Spurs are missing pretty much all their good midfielders and Maddison, Kulusevski and Bergwijn. And pretty much Aston Villa, no Tielemans, no Ramsey. So you probably think that Asensio is going to be starting there. And lastly, Chelsea will not be having a number nine. So there's going to be a false nine there. Will it be Pedro Neto? Will it be Cole Palmer? We're not sure. It could even be Matt Wakey. Or it could be that youngster that's been untried. But without further ado, smash a like on the video. Subscribe if you haven't already subscribed. And make sure you join me later today. And let's get into it. The FDR for game week 37, and this is pretty much all you need to know, is the four fixtures. I'm not going to waste too much time on this. Everton versus Southampton is definitely a fixture to be targeting. Leicester versus Ipswich, you could target teams from both of them. Great options in both of them. You're not targeting Man United, but you are targeting Chelsea assets. That fixture is a big, fat, dark green. It shouldn't be green. And then you're also targeting all those Aston Villa juicy assets against that Spurs team, again, who should be a big dark green. I expect both of those games to be at least 3-0, if I'm being brutally honest. I can't see United scoring. Spurs have got more chance of scoring, and I think potentially Spurs might field the stronger lineup of the two, but I still think they get spanked. Then, obviously, the teams fighting for the UCL, they're going to be important. Obviously, Man City is playing post the FA Cup. I still think that'll be great. Arsenal playing Newcastle, probably not a fixture you want to be investing too heavily in. Nottingham Forest have gone off the boil, so you probably don't want to be investing too heavily in there as well. But that's pretty much all you need to know about the fixtures to target this particular game week. So the game week 37 punt, and look, if you have the triple captaincy chip and you wanted to take a massive risk this week, it is Cole Palmer. His record against Man United, particularly last season, was amazing. So he scored in the 1-1 draw away at Old Trafford. He then also scored a hat-trick in that absolute humdinger of a game, 4-3, that finished at Stamford Bridge. Now, I'm not saying he's going to score a hat-trick in this game because his form has not been anywhere near as good as what it's been recently, but he had an XGI in the reverse fixture of 0.51 and only got 3 points. But he's had 25 attacking returns this year. And Cole Palmer, as we saw against Liverpool, I think he plays better in these big games. And yes, I know he was pretty anonymous against Newcastle, but that's because they were down to 10 men more than anything else. I think that he's going to pop off in this game. And I'm actually really strongly considering, we'll look at my plans at the end of this video, but I'm really strongly considering bringing Cole Palmer back in for a hit, just for a one-week play, just because I think he's going to be amazing against United. And United, honestly, are absolute rubbish. If you were taking a massive punt on the triple captaincy this week, I think he's going to go better than what Haaland did for me last week. I wouldn't be afraid of putting it on Palmer this week. So this is to manage the game week 37. And look, if I was playing this chip and I had it on Pep Guardiola or Nuno from last week, I'd 100% be transferring it out. I think that Graham Potter is actually going to beat Nuno this weekend. And he also has table bonus. So for that reason alone, even if it ends in a draw, Graham Potter's going to massively outscore Nuno. So I really like Graham Potter here. And I think, realistically, that is where I would be going. Hurzler is playing a Liverpool team that is currently either in Ibiza or in Dubai, depending on what you read. But there has been pictures of them swimming, bathing, on the beach. I think the Brighton now are probably the second most realistic chance of table bonus this week. Then after them, I think you just go with the safe bets. Emery versus Tottenham is a guaranteed win. Maresca versus Manchester United, a guaranteed win. If you had to ask me who scores more goals, I'm probably going with Emery. But if I think who's more likely to keep a clean sheet, I'm probably going with Maresca. So for that reason, if that's where you want to go, if you're playing assistant manager this week in game week 37, those are the four options. I'd be taking a -4. I took a -4 on two of the three weeks I played the assistant manager, and it definitely paid off chasing that table bonus. So for me, table bonus is king. I'd be looking on the left-hand side here on this slide. So which premium punt for game week 37? And look, this is probably going to come down to a lot of people. And look, Ollie Watkins is by far the most popular transferred in player this game week. He's obviously got Tottenham at home. And without Marcus Rashford being available, without Jacob Ramsey taking minutes, you would expect Ollie Watkins probably to play 90 minutes here. Let's be honest. Then you've got Cole Palmer against Man United, and he's almost a guarantee to play 90 minutes with the fact that they've got no Jadon Sancho, they've got no Nicholas Jackson. Like, who was actually going to come on and replace Cole Palmer? If we have a look at the stats for the season, Ollie Watkins got 179 points compared to Cole Palmer's 209. So Cole Palmer's still beating by like 30 points this season. His XGI in the last game, so on the weekend when Ollie Watkins scored that goal, he had an XGI of that in that game of 0.38. Cole Palmer, who blanked against Newcastle, and ironically, they played with 10 men, he still managed to rack up an XGI of 0.27. Not amazing numbers for either of them, but Ollie Watkins did score last weekend. Obviously, Ollie Watkins has got 16 goals compared to Cole Palmer's 15. He's got 7 assists, has Ollie Watkins, compared to the 10 of Cole Palmer, which, when you think about it, Ollie Watkins is not that far behind Cole Palmer in terms of actual attacking returns. And quite often this season, Ollie Watkins hasn't even been first choice. So that's pretty damn good. I think that just shows how consistent Ollie Watkins has been. Obviously, the XG numbers are very similar. So XG expected goals per 90 of 0.55 for Ollie Watkins, 0.5 for Cole Palmer. And then expected assists is where it really breaks down. Ollie Watkins, 0.06. Cole Palmer, 0.26. When you look at the bonus points, 32 versus 35, they're both bonus points monsters. When they generally return with an attacking return, they both end up with bonus points. Ideally, you'd love to have both this week. But if you wanted to take one, I think I'd be more inclined to go with Cole Palmer because he is a differential. And at this point in the season, most people are trying to chase their mini league rivals down. They are trying to gain rank. If you go with Ollie Watkins, you're pretty much not gaining any rank unless you captain him. Like, if you're bringing Ollie Watkins in, you have to captain him in order to make the transfer work, because he's going to be over 100% effective ownership, I believe, by the time the deadline rolls around tonight. So the best cheap Chelsea midfielder to buy in game week 37, and this is where it gets interesting. And I think there's a case to suggest each of these blokes are a really good shout this week and potentially might top score in the Chelsea team this week, even above Cole Palmer. Like, it's quite possible. The only reason why I like Cole Palmer better than these guys is because Cole Palmer is going to be on free kicks more often than not. He's going to be definitely on penalties. So for that reason, I prefer him, because I feel like Man United have definitely got a penalty given away in them, being a Man United fan. I just think that. So let's have a look at the stats for the season. So the numbers are all very similar. So Madueke, 125 points, Enzo, 129 points, and then Pedro Neto, who's definitely played the least amount of games out of this lot, 95 points. But again, all pretty good, all pretty similar prices, except Enzo, who's dirt cheap. So Enzo's 4.7 mil. Unbelievably cheap, considering how many points he's got. Madueke is 6 mil, Pedro Neto, 6.1. When you look at the expected goal numbers, though, this is where it really changes. So Madueke is leading the way here by a country mile, 0.44 expected goals per 90 compared to Enzo's 0.2, and then Pedro Neto's only 0.13. That doesn't feel good. But I feel like Pedro Neto is the more likely one to end up in the false nine, unless that ends up being Cole Palmer. Now, if that ends up being Cole Palmer just becomes such a really good option because he'll be playing closer to goal. But I'm expecting it to be Pedro Neto. Now, if they bring in the young bloke Gaye, or I don't know how you say his name, but then Pedro Neto might be back on the right, and then maybe it is Cole Palmer that is the better option. I'm not sure. So expected assists here are very similar across the board. 0.13 for Madueke, 0.2 for Enzo Fernandez, and 0.19 for Pedro Neto. So not much in there between the assists. Now, in terms of attacking returns, it's 7 goals, 5 assists for Madueke. It's 6 goals, 8 assists for Enzo Fernandez. And it's 4 goals, 5 assists for Pedro Neto. So Pedro Neto definitely behind the other two. So if you're more likely to think who's going to return, it's probably going to be between Madueke and Enzo. And then if you look at the bonus points, they're very, very similar. 12 to Madueke, 11 to Enzo, and 9 to Pedro Neto. I think they're all great options, and I can make a case to pick any of them over Cole Palmer this week. It's just none of them are on penalties. And for that reason, I think I'd just pay up the 10.5 to bring in Cole Palmer. I just feel like United are going to concede one tonight. So which Aston Villa midfielder for game week 37? And again, this comes down to rank chasing and rank protecting. Morgan Rogers, significantly owned. I think in the top 10K, he's currently on about 38% effective ownership. Asensio doesn't even make, I think, 1%. Like, that's the difference here. Who's going to be on penalties? Asensio missed the last two he took. Morgan Rogers takes him for the under-21s. Realistically, surely Morgan Rogers is going to be given the penalties. I'm not sure. Maybe they go back to Ollie Watkins. Maybe they go to, I don't know, John McGinn or someone if he's playing or whatever. But when you look at the stats here, obviously Asensio arrived in January, hasn't played that much football, so the stats are a little bit off. Ironically, Morgan Rogers is not a bonus points machine. Even though he scored 154 points, he's only got 15 bonus points for the season, compared to Marco Asensio's 6. That's, considering he scored so many points, he hasn't got that many bonus, but that's because Morgan Rogers loves a yellow card. So when you look at the XGI of the last game, Morgan Rogers has an XGI of that game on the weekend of 0.28. Not amazing, but he did get the assist from it. Asensio had an XGI of 0.11, and he didn't play. I think he played 59 minutes, or it was around the 60-minute mark. Obviously, you're paying an extra 0.4 million for Asensio. When you look at the attacking returns, Morgan Rogers had 18 attacking returns this season, 8 goals, 10 assists. Asensio's had 3 goals, 2 assists. It's where the XG and the XA numbers really change the scenario. So Morgan Rogers doesn't have the best underlying attacking data. 0.19 expected goals per 90, 0.16 expected assists per 90. Asensio, on the other hand, has really good numbers. 0.63 expected goals per 90 and 0.15 expected assists per 90. So if you were trying to work out who is more likely to score a goal, if they played 90 minutes each, you would think Asensio would be much more likely to score a goal. In terms of assist production, they're both on a par. It just comes down to, do you want to chase? How much rank do you want to chase? How much do you want to protect yourself? And then making your move based off that. I think for me, I'd be more likely to pick Rogers because you're almost guaranteed that he is a 90-minute man unless he gets himself sent off, which hasn't happened, or he gets himself injured. He's playing 90. Asensio, on the other hand, I'm not sure if he plays 90. And for that reason, I think I'd probably still lean towards Morgan Rogers. So which forward to dump in game week 37? And look, I covered this yesterday in my team selection video. Marmoush, Mateta and Isak, I don't own any of them anymore. But this is the template forward line still. And I think a lot of people are still going to probably have at least one, maybe even two of these blokes by the time the deadline passes. Now, the most realistic option, most people are moving one of these blokes to Ollie Watkins. Like, that is just a fact. He's probably going to have in over 500,000 transfers by the time the deadline rolls around, which is crazy. You aren't gaining any rank there. You're literally just following the template crowd. You're following the sheep mentality. If you ask me who's more of a priority sell, it's probably Marmoush, because of the fact that we just don't know if he's going to be starting, if he's going to be benched. Now that Haaland's back, that's one less place in the team because Haaland starts. For me, he just starts. It doesn't matter if they play 120 minutes or not. I think Haaland's starting. So for that reason, I think Marmoush is probably the priority sell. Also, his numbers have been very skew-iff. He's returned, I think, in 4 games out of, I think, the 12 or whatever he's played for Man City. It's not amazing numbers. He either goes big or he gets nothing. Whereas the others, they can go big, but they can also just have one return. And they're a bit more consistent, I would say. Mateta is then next in line to go. Recently, post that injury, he's barely played 60 minutes. And quite often, he's gone off of 1 point, which is highly frustrating. I know what that's like. That's why I moved him out when I had the chance and he's gone. So I can understand why he is also someone that people want to move on. Isak, that is just because I think for me last week when I sold Isak, I've been watching him of late and he just doesn't look right. And apparently there's rumours of an injury that needs surgery at the end of the season. It probably looks like that. And I think if Newcastle had Champions League tied up, Isak would not be playing. I think that's almost a guaranteed fact. And I think they'd be starting Callum Wilson. I think if they get a result against Arsenal this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if Callum Wilson starts in game week 38. Would not be surprised at all. Isak just doesn't look quite at the races. And for that reason, he is a bit of a gamble taking on because obviously he is on penalties. But it makes sense. I mean, if you're not playing well and he's taking up a spot in your team, why would you not take him on? So for me, I was quite happy to sell him last week. I'm quite happy to take him on again this week. And honestly, I think he could sell all three. If he had three transfers, I wouldn't mind selling all three this week. So which forward then do you buy? And look, I've broken it down here for you. And the stats are actually pretty interesting. So Beto's actual average points per game is actually 3, not 5.8. I've actually cooked that. I'm pretty sure I've cooked that. Ollie Watkins, 5 points per game. Jamie Vardy is not 5.4 either. I'm not sure what's going on there with the average numbers, but everything else is correct. Southampton against Beto is an amazing fixture. Jamie Vardy against Ipswich at home, amazing fixture. Ollie Watkins against Tottenham at home, amazing fixture. Now, as you can see there, for the season, Beto's obviously scored the least amount of points, but he's actually played the least amount of football with these three players as well. 4.8 million, he's scored 83 points. Ollie Watkins is going to cost you 9 million. He scored 179 points, more than double what Beto's scored this season. Jamie Vardy, 5.3 million. He scored 120 points. Now, if we have a look at what is going on here. So for the season, Beto scored 8 goals, 0 assists. So that's 8 attacking returns. Ollie Watkins scored 16 goals, 7 assists. That's a total of 23 attacking returns. And then we have a look at Jamie Vardy, 8 goals, 5 assists, 13 attacking returns. When you look at the XGI per 90, that's expected goals plus expected assists per 90, Ollie Watkins wins by a significant mile. But that's probably because he's in a better team that creates better chances, whereas Beto has been playing for an Everton team that barely created anything in the first half of the season, and Jamie Vardy's playing for Leicester, and they're finishing 19th. You've got to take these things into comparison. So XGI per 90 of 0.46 for Beto, 0.43 for Vardy. So he's the least of these three players. And Ollie Watkins obviously leading the way with 0.61. And if you have a look at the bonus points, obviously these are skewed massively in Ollie Watkins' favour. 32 bonus points there. Obviously he's returned a lot more. So obviously he's been in with the bonus points a lot more. Beto, 11 points. And then Jamie Vardy's got 16 bonus points. Now, what I would say on the Vardy party is, if the Vardy party scores, there's probably a strong likelihood he also gets booked, because I wouldn't be surprised if he took his shirt off, carried on. But I could also see Jamie Vardy scoring at least 2 goals. I don't know why. I'm just, the more I think about it, the more it gets closer to the deadline, the more I just want to go on the Vardy party and just have a bit of fun with it. But yeah, look, honestly, all these three guys are really good assets. Now, if you wanted to take Ollie Watkins on, I'd like a Beto. I like a Jamie Vardy punt. And because I'm on free hit 38, Ruud van Nistelrooy has basically come out and said, this is Jamie Vardy's last game for Leicester, this last home game, that's it. What better way than to go out with an absolute bang? So for that reason, I don't know. I am kind of leaning, the more I think about it, the more I'm leaning towards a Jamie Vardy party for game week 37. So the captaincy choice for game week 37, and this is where it gets interesting. My God, is this interesting. So these stats are from the first time, the reverse fixture earlier this season. So Mbeumo versus Fulham at home, in the reverse fixture, he had an XGI of 0.01. He barely had an XGI at all. Obviously got no returns. He got 3 points. It was a very boring game of football, actually, from memory. Salah was the only player that played at home in the reverse fixture. He obviously scored 1 goal off an XGI of 0.65 and he got 9 points. So on the reverse fixture, Salah was definitely the best captaincy pick. Haaland was the biggest underperformer on the reverse fixture, had an XGI of 0.9 and did not return against Bournemouth away when Bournemouth stunned Man City, and he got 2 points. Of these three options, at the moment, I've got all three of them in my team, and I've got Haaland captain at the moment, going into the deadline because I haven't made any transfers yet. And part of me thinks that I'm going to leave it there, because he's going to be a great differential. No one's captaining him. Yes, it didn't work out for me last week on the triple captaincy. Maybe this is the week where the card comes in and Haaland goes bang. Because I tell you, he's been due to go bang for a long time this season. And what better way, the warm-up for the Club World Cup, than with a couple of goals against Bournemouth this week, in the midweek next week. So the second part of the captaincy choice is these three players. So these are the 6 ones. So ironically, again, in the reverse fixtures, they all played away from home. Ollie Watkins had an XGI of 0.46, no goals, no assists, 2 points. Cole Palmer versus Manchester United away in the reverse fixture, 0.51 XGI, 0 goals, 0 assists, 3 points. Jamie the Party Vardy got an assist off an XGI of 0.49 and got himself 5 points in the away fixture versus Ipswich. So if we reverse this, and you always expect players to do better when they're at home, surely this is a sign that maybe the Vardy Party captaincy is actually not that bad of a shout. I just thought the numbers are really interesting, and the XGI, I just think that it's very interesting. Like the debate about who to captain this week is very open. I think the majority are going to go on Ollie Watkins, but I think there is a chance to take that on. Spurs, I think, are actually going to play a half-decent backline, but their midfield's going to be rubbish. So for that reason, maybe Ollie Watkins is the best. But I don't know. There's a case to argue for all six of them. For that reason, good luck with your captaincy pick this week. And I don't mind if you go a little bit rogue. And a Vardy Party might actually be the best shout. So the team for game week 37 using transfers. So my team, currently speaking, lining up is as follows on the left. Except it should be a Haaland captain. Not sure why it's not. But so I've got Raya in goal, Munoz, Gwaviol, Kukureya, who I'm very excited about there, Mo Salah and Mbeumo, Bowen, Sade, and then up front it's Wissa, Haaland and Cunha. Now, ironically, this team is actually ranked 95% on Fantasy Football Hub. Milinkovic, Kluivert, Byrne on the bench, Verbruggen on the bench as well. Now, I also think I potentially might start Verbruggen over Raya. I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure how I'm feeling about that. That's another decision for the deadline. Then I am thinking about taking -4. Now, I have the exact funds to move Cunha to Beto and then Kluivert to Palmer, and then I'd be benching Sade. Now, I am kind of wary of doing that. I think that Sade is a really good option this week, but triple Brentford against a Fulham team that potentially, if Crystal Palace win on the Saturday, will have nothing to play for on the Sunday, I kind of like trying to hedge my bets a little bit there. So I'm not sure. I also, like, my forward line is really differential. Other than Wissa, Beto, Haaland going to be super low-owned in the top 10K. So if they both go ham, there's a great chance to make points there. And Haaland captain, I just think, is a really good differential this week. So for me, that's kind of where I'm looking at for my own team. Hopefully that's helpful for you guys. Obviously, there's other moves I can make. I could just not take a -4 and just move Cunha to Vardy. I could just move Cunha to Watkins. I could move just Cunha to Beto and just roll, and then just, you know, that's it. And then I start Sade instead of Palmer, and Kluivert's on the bench. That's also another good option. Ironically, moving Watkins in for Cunha actually, according to Fantasy Football Hub, lowers my team rating to 94% from Cunha being in the team at 95. So to even rate Cunha is going to be going better than Watkins. I don't know how it works that out, but maybe Fantasy Football Hub has actually got this one right. I don't believe it does. But look, that's how the team's looking. Realistically, Milinkovic and Byrne are definitely on the bench. I think my three defenders this week look amazing. Goalkeeper is a little bit debatable, but I'm pretty happy with the team. And then obviously free hit 38 is going to be a lot of fun. So that's been the end of the late mail for game week 37. Hopefully you've enjoyed that. Hopefully it's given you some food for thought in terms of the moves that are going to be most popular this week and maybe ways to take them on that is going to be a little bit different, especially if you're chasing rank at this time of the year. Let me know what plans you're doing. I will catch you again at 4 p.m. today, UK time, for the Game Week 37 deadline stream. Hope to see you there. The old card that called Cunha captain over Salah is back in business. It's been found, and the other one has been burnt. With that being said, make sure you like the video before you leave. Subscribe if you haven't, and I'll catch you later on today. That's been FPL D Unit.